make it. I'm going to be all right because of that. Praise the Lord.
Anything on your heart? If you have your Bibles, you want to turn to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 5. This is the strangest series that I've ever been involved in. I went from chapter 2 to chapter 8, then back, I think, to chapter 6, now chapter 5. Usually you go through in order, but the Lord's just... when He does it, it'll be all right, though. How about it? No, brother, I'm sorry. You come stand right up. Thank you, brother. Thank you. We're still praying for you. Anyone else? I asked and then I got carried away, didn't I? That's not unusual for me. Amen. All right. If you would stand with me, Acts chapter 5. What a sobering passage this is. Just reading it brings great fear to my heart. And what a passage. And let's start reading at verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy, or she knew about it, to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart, and thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God? And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. Great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. Peter answered her, tell me rather ye sold land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in, and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the warnings that we get. We thank you for the encouragement we get. We thank you, Lord, for the truth. God, I'm so thankful today that I can stand and proclaim out of the word of God its truth. There's no variableness. There's no turning away. There's nothing, Lord, that shaky about the Word of God. And we can stand on it because it's going to endure forever. And Lord, we ask you now that you would just touch the old preacher boy. Lord, you'd anoint me from up on high. God, help me deliver what you want delivered today. And Lord, I pray for your moving and your touch. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I believe that I've alluded to this passage, but I believe this is the first time I've ever preached on this passage. that I can remember. Rhonda might know better than me, but I don't ever remember it. But we want to look at chapter 4 just a little bit. God's been moving. We preached a happy birthday here on Pentecost Sunday a few Sundays ago. The church was born by the Holy Ghost, and the apostles and the church, there's 3,000 added, 5,000 added. The church is growing abundantly. God is moving. People's being healed everywhere they go. They're healing folks. The people's being saved. It's just amazing what's going on. Here in chapter 4, then it's talking about folks given possessions. And in verse let me read this, starting at verse 34 in chapter 4. Neither was there anything among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of land or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according to as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which has been interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So we see this is what's been happening. And then here in chapter 5, we see this couple, then that they're wanting to look better than they really are. I hadn't put a title upon this message this morning. This one never did come to me. Some come to my mind. One was Money Can't Buy Me Love. And some different things, or watch out. Do not be deceived. So there's a lot of things that we could think about here this morning, but what I want to look at here now, we see in chapter 5, the first part that I'm looking at, then on the second part, and I may preach it tonight, I don't know. But in this chapter, we see Satan attacking the church in two different ways. The church is having so much influence, so much is happening, so many people's being saved. So later on, and we've seen it earlier, Satan is attacking from the outside. He attacks and he attacks and he attacks. But he's got this chapter here is a dual threat, a dual attack upon church. Not only is he attacking from outside, now we see here he's attacking from the members on the inside. Most of the time, he don't gain much leeway on the outside if he really has more success from the inside. If we fail to stick together, we give the devil a foothold in the house of the Lord. As we see here, him operating now subtle as a serpent, and he's moved into the believers in the assembly to hinder the work of the Lord. Want to look at the deception in verse 1 and 2. Of course, it said that a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. I want to look at the word, the deception in this. And the word Ananias means, his name meant God is gracious. And of course, Sapphira could probably come from the stone meant beautiful. But they were wanting to gain a reputation as being more spiritual than what they really was. And I'll tell you, I've seen this happen more times than you can shake a stick at. The minute that somebody hears that I'm a pastor, it's brother. Hey, brother. Boy, you can sure change from cussing to old brother pastor real quick. Amen? I remember, and this stuck in my mind, a woman that used to work at the mall, and she worked selling watches and jewelry and stuff like that, and a guy come in with his watch on, and he said he needed a battery, and she looked at him and said, "That's a very nice watch." And he said, "Yeah, I only wear it two times. That's to go to the mouse's ear and church." Amen. There's where we are in the church today. There's the problem, the deceptions that Satan has lied to a lot of folks and has moved in the hearts of a lot of people. See, they wanted to be more than they really was. They wanted to look a little more spiritual than what they really was. They wanted to act a little more. They wanted a little more people to think a little more highly of them. And now the word that we get of that ain't nothing but hypocrisy. And if we're not careful in our lives, that we'll be the biggest hypocrites that ever was professing the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I know this is not a popular message, but I'm going to be honest. Can I be honest with you? The preacher eat this message in tears yesterday. Unbelievable. See, God done dealt me over it. I done had to choke this thing down. But want to look at this deception. See, Satan lies to the hearts and the minds of people in the church. If he can get us to believe a lie, if he can get us convinced that that Gary is mad at me, and that he don't like me, and everything that I stand for he's against, then he gets a little conflict between me and Gary. Amen? And if he can cause a little bit of problem, if he can rose a little bit, and if he can say something that, well, that preacher's not telling you the whole truth. If this or if that, and if he can cause conflict, and that is what it, his goal and his purpose is, to come in and destroy the church from the inside. Because Jesus had done and told him, up on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Thinking about this deception, see, it's because of these lies, and he enters in that Paul gave us a warning in chapter 6 of a book of Ephesians. This was given to believers. You remember, we preached through it a couple years ago, putting on the whole armor of God, putting on the helmet, putting on the breastplate, having her loins girded about with truth, having her feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, taking up the sword of the Spirit and praying without ceasing. I tell you, if we're going to be soldiers that's going to win the battle, we're going to have to do it as an army united together in the Word of God on our face before God. See, Ham was allowed in the ark. Ananias and Sapphira had been allowed to be into the church up to this point. See, one thing is a problem of one of Satan's biggest deceptions. See, he tries to woo us and get us to believing that if we get a head knowledge of God's salvation, that we're okay. See, I believe these folks had a head knowledge, and what a head knowledge will do, it'll bring about conviction. See, the head knowledge brought enough conviction that they thought, well, we need to give some money too to the church. But we don't want to give it all. But we see head knowledge brought about some conviction. And it brought about a feeling toward the Savior that they didn't even know. And if we're not careful, that we'll get satisfied knowing about Jesus instead of knowing Him in our heart.
Amen.
I heard a story a few years ago, and it was a guy told me, I said he missed heaven by 18 inches. He had the head knowledge, but he didn't have Him in his heart. They say from your brain to your heart's about 18 inches. Said he missed it by 18 inches. And folks, this morning, I don't know where you are with the Lord, but if you've just got it in the head, you're not there yet. You're about there. You're getting there. You're getting close, and God's moving and working on your heart, but you need Him in your heart. Head knowledge won't get you to heaven. It'll put you on your knees lots of times. It'll make you convicted lots of times. It'll do a lot of things, but it takes that when you get on your knees and you say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I've fallen short of the glory of God. I believe that You're the Son of God. Come into my heart and forgive me of my sins. Glory, hallelujah. Ours when you get the goods. Ours when the good stuff comes about. See, it's not just knowing Him. Boy, I can't get away from this. See, I know about the President of the United States, but I don't know Him. I doubt if he'd take my phone calls. I'd like to give him some advice. That's probably why he won't take my call. But I know Rhonda. And she takes my calls. Every time. I know her favorite color. I know her favorite food. I know everything. But see, I know her. We've got a relationship. We've grown together. And I know a lot more about her than I did when we first met. It's because we've spent time together and we've communed together and we've shared and we've talked and we've been together. See, that's the way it is with Jesus. It's our relationship and it grows. And once we've asked Him into our heart, and it's a nurturing relationship. And boy, I tell you, I know a lot more about Him than I used to. I know a lot more. I know what He likes better than I used to. I know what He don't like better than He used to. Praise the Lord. See, it's a relationship. The next thing, not only the deception, it's the discovery in verses 3 through 4. The Bible said, but Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and keep back part of the price of the land? Was it remain, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived in this thing in thine heart that thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God? See, sin, I don't care how much we try to pretty it up and gussy it up, sin. And sin separates us from God. And I'll tell you something else, and this word will tell you, sin's not hidden from God. It might be hid from me. You may get by with me, and I may think you're the greatest thing in the world, but I'm going to tell you, you're not going to hide a thing from God. And He knows that everything, and let me tell you something else, I'm not going to hide nothing from Him either. I may stand behind the pulpit, but I'm just as acceptable as you are, and I'm just as reliable to God as you are, and I'll tell you what, I better walk straight, and I better do what's right when I stand behind that pulpit.
Amen.
See, we try. We've quit calling it sin, and we've started calling it a disease. I was born this way. I can't help it. I can't help it. And it's an alternate lifestyle. I got the first letter right. It's an abomination into the sight of God is what it is. See, he said, why has Satan filled your heart? The word filled means to control or influence. It's the same word that's in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Be not filled with wine, where is it in excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. That's the same word, to be under the influence and control of. And what he said, that he had allowed Satan to control his actions. If we're not real careful, in the name of Jesus, we allow the Satan to use us and deceive us and work right through us, and we'll be under his control in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you, and I'm going to stand here, and I don't care if it's me, I don't care if it's you, I don't care if it's any preacher on TV, that's a dangerous place to be. See, Satan had got in and gained control that he might use them to deceive and bring trouble into the church. But 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. See, he owns us. He bought us. He gave his son, gave all the blood that he had for me. And I have been bought with a price. I've been purchased. I've been redeemed. I've been sanctified. I've been justified. And now I stand before God, holy in his eyes because of Jesus Christ. Boy, I tell you what, it's a dangerous thing to go messing with that body. It's a dangerous thing to allow sin to reign and to manipulate and operate in the body of a saint. Amen. See, the Bible, nowhere have I seen frees us up from the guilt of sin. God's going to judge you. He says in Galatians, be not deceived, God's not mocked, for whatsoever ye soweth, that shall ye also reap. Amen. See, the Bible here said, you didn't lie to man, you lied to God. You lied to the Holy Ghost. God the Holy Ghost. That's it. We see the Trinity here, Brother Jay. I know Jay's like me, always looking for the Trinity. It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. This is the person, God the Holy Ghost. He is involved in the church. When he came, the church was born. He brings the power. He brings all the knowledge. He brings the wisdom. He brings the things about. He brings the guidance. And I tell you, when we call on to God the Holy Ghost, we're messing up in a mighty way. And if I come in here professing something that I'm not, to the church of God, I have lied to the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Now, do you see why I've struggled with this one? See, when they lied to Peter under the influence, they was lying to God. Now I want to look at the death verses 5 through 11. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. Great fear came upon them all. Let me stop right there and ask you something. How do you think the church and the world would respond if God done this in the church today? Amen. I'm going to tell you what happened. That'd go one way or the other. It'd either be up here or they'd be out the door. That's the way God moves. I tell you, I've been in services. I remember a guy told me, and we'd been praying for him for a long time. We'd been praying for him to be saved, and him and his wife and little girl was coming to church, and I'd pray and pray, and the saints around was praying, and we prayed and we prayed and we prayed. And one day he asked me about doing some drywall for him, and I was in the house working with him, and he said, "You know, there's been some times down there that I've had to ask the Lord to ease up on me so I could sit there." I said, "But don't you never, never do that. When the Holy Spirit is moving and tugging on your heart, you may never get another opportunity." You might say, "Now don't threaten me that I'm about to die." No, you may live for a long time. But when the Holy Spirit, God said, "My spirit will not always strive with man." Unless you come, unless the Holy Spirit knows, you can't come unto God. Amen. So when he's that tug and that knock on your heart, I tell you, with tears in my eyes, don't turn it away. Don't walk away and walk away from it. I know a saint of God that I've known for years. One of the best Bible teachers. I call him Dad. You all know him, Howard. If I ever had another dad, it would be Howard. He got saved. The Lord dealt with his heart when he was 14 years old. He said, told me that if I hadn't went that night, I don't believe I'd ever got saved. Folks, it's important. It's serious stuff. See, any time... This was not just a case of church discipline. Anytime that the Lord has brought a new case or something about of beginning of a new era of salvation, he's purged sin out of it. You remember when the temple, the tabernacle was erected and they was going to have service, that Nadab and Abihu offered strange fire to God. Well, God come right out of that flame of that strange fire and struck them dead. Great fear fell. They got things right, Brother Tim, in their worship. God killed Achan as they was going over into the promised land. Or he didn't kill him, he ordered him killed. Him and his family, because he lied and he deceived and he tried to hide stuff in his tent. Boy, I tell you what, sometimes we got to have a tent cleaning. Sometimes we got to bring a bunch of mess out and we need to bring it out before God. See, I think one of the things that was wrong with Ananias and Sapphira was some unconfessed and some sins back in their past and some things that they hadn't heard out and they hadn't got out and let God take care of. We want God to forgive us, but we don't want to have to dig all that mess out. We want to just let it lie there. God wants to break it out and let him take care of it. And see, here, in this case, in the new church, when the Holy Ghost comes, he sent a message and he said, "I'm not going to tolerate sin in the church of God. I'm not tolerating deception. When you walk in and you claim to be in the church of the living God, you better be what you say you are." See, folks, it's serious business when it's sin against the Holy Ghost. I mean, sin's serious. Period. Jesus said the only sin that he wouldn't forgive, it wouldn't be forgiven, is blaspheme against the Holy Ghost. They come here and sinned against the Holy Ghost right here. He snuffed them out. Wanda, you remember in Acts chapter 8, Simon the sorcerer, and he was bewitching the people with his sorcery. And he come and professed to be saved. But in verse 18 of chapter 8, he said, "And when Simon saw that through laying on the apostles' hands that the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, 'Give me also this power, that whomever I lay hands on may receive the Holy Ghost.'" But I want you to listen to what Peter said to him. "But Peter said unto him, 'Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not upright in the sight of God.'" Here's the key. "Repent, therefore, of thy wickedness, and pray, if perhaps the thought of thine heart might be forgiven." See, he didn't tell him 100% sure that God would forgive him for that. He said, "If perhaps he might forgive you." I tell you, folks, this business, this church business, we've taken it too lightly in the year 2017. We've watered this stuff down. I'm telling you, we're messing with the supernatural God that has all power, unlimited power, and all-knowing. And we have the Holy Ghost that's moving and convicting, and it's leading their churches, and it's a serious matter to be in the house of the Lord. See, Hebrews 10:30 and 31 says, "For we know him that hath said, 'Vengeance belongeth to me, I will recompense,' saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people." Verse 31, "It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God." Folks, I love good old good feeling messages. I love here on Pentecost Sunday. Whew, glory, hallelujah. I'm telling you what, I thought I was going to bust a gasket. Boy, they love them good old feeling meetings. But it takes these with it. And this is serious business. So I don't want anyone to stand before God and say, "I didn't know. That preacher down there at Marbleton never told me all this. He just told me the good stuff. He didn't tell me that judgment's coming and that we're responsible to God." And I don't care if we're sitting here today, if we've ever been saved, or if we hadn't. Either way, we're going to stand before God and be judged. If we've been saved, we'll stand before Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. If we've not been saved, we'll be at the great white throne. We're sinners, is condemned to hell for all eternity. See, I'm have to tell the rest of the story. Then I want to share the testimony that come with this. Verse 12, "And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest doth no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And the believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on the beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one." See, here's the power that come with a repentant church, with a purged church. When God purged the church, I'm telling you, they got turned loose with the power. And when we allow God to purge us, I'm telling you, it'll be amazing what will happen.
Amen.
You know, your loved ones you've been praying for, that may be what will turn them loose. When we get sin out of their hearts and out of our lives and out of the camp, and we get converted like we ought to, and we are with God the way we ought to, I'm telling you, it's an old telling what God will do through His church.
Amen.
See, sin's not tolerated by God. God's only going to bless the church that looks and acts like a church. Daniel Defoe called pride the first peer and president of hell. Folks, and I want you to listen to me. I'd say pride sent more people to hell than anything. More than drug addiction, more than alcohol addiction, more than robbery, pride has sent more people to hell. It was so, had so much power, pride did, that the highest ranking angel in heaven, second to God, fell. Lucifer became Satan. Look in the book of Isaiah from chapter 12, from verse 12, chapter 14, verse 12 to verse 15. Well, let me read it. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend unto heaven, and I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Verse 15, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. When we allow pride to move in, pride goeth for destruction, Holy Spirit for the fall. When I'm so proud that I won't call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sins, that's when pride will send me to hell. When I won't call on, when I'm too proud to do the things of the Lord, to be involved in the things of God, to be involved in the church of God, to come out and support and be with His work, it'll send me to hell. See, pride caused Lucifer to fall. Pride caused the first parents to sin. Pride opens every door for us to sin. And you know what it does? It makes us to want to look good in the eyes of others. There's what happened to Ananias and Sapphira. They wanted to look good. They wanted to look like Barnabas. He looked good when he came in and gave all that money. But it's a heart matter. It don't matter. God don't see. We look on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart.
Amen.
He knows what's there. Let's pray. Father, we love you and thank you. Praise you.